Oh, Gully, this is so live now, guys. Gully, can you just drop the retweet on our Twitter that we're live now, because everyone needs to hear the latest breaking news that's coming out of Wolves. We're revealing it tonight on the Wolves YouTube channel. Please subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Raul Jimenez, in the last half an hour on his Instagram, has revealed that he is in association with Tape underscore Design Socks. They're one of the greatest protection of sock tape in the world, guys. As you can see at the bottom of the screen there, at Tape Design underscore Socks. He's on the way, guys, but he's still the money machine that we know.
To be honest, I'm kind of glad your internet's dropped out after that, right? Because that was an absolute waste of fucking time. Honestly, you deserve that, Dan. You deserve everything you're getting right now, 100%.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh man, I assume you'll be ordering a batch for the charity match now, so everyone's queued up.
Nice. Day.
I don't know if he's noticed yet, has he?
He has no idea. He has absolutely no idea what's going on.
I know exactly what's going on. It's my usual internet lag that happens every Friday. I hope you can you both hear me okay?
You're back. You're back.
You're back. Yeah. Honestly, Dan, you deserve that, to be honest. You deserved it.
I hope everyone got that latest breaking news that's just been revealed. Raul Jimenez in association with Tape Design Socks. It's huge. He's still doing sponsorship, lads. What's your thoughts on these latest sponsorship, Harry?
I'm just really disappointed, mate. I was so excited for that breaking news, and you've let me down. But yeah, good on him. Let him crack on.
I'm sorry, guys, but I'm fed up with Raul now. He's been an absolute hero for this club. I'm sick of seeing his Instagram stories with him playing with his anime toys, sponsorships, just complete crap. Just to net him off at the end of the season, do us all a favour. You play tomorrow, you have your big send off, we all clap you. Good luck for the rest of your career. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Hard to disagree.
Golly.
I mean, he had a bit of a cameo at United, didn't he? And it was like, it's weird now with Raul. I don't know. You don't get that inner sense of warmth that he used to have about him. And it's sad. It's sad. Like you wish he did.
The longer this relationship goes on now, Gully, the more strained his relationship and his legacy with the club is going to become tarnished.
Well, if he wanted to sort us out a batch of Tape Design Socks for the charity game that we've got coming up on 2nd of June, then all will be forgiven, right?
I've already covered myself on that. I told you I did my first bit of kick about the other week. Got a blister. I'm sorted now. I'm way ahead. I'm ready for this game. We're 2 weeks away. You've just touched on it there, Gully. We've got a charity match at Molyneux 2 weeks today on behalf of the mental health charity Mind. If you can help us out with the fundraiser. The link's out on our social media. The reason that we've got Harry from the 77 Club with us tonight, crossing the divide. You're involved with the match, Harry. The 77 Club won our football card charity fundraiser, and you've been designated representative for the 77 Club. How are you feeling in regards to the match, and how keen are you to exact your redemption from the last charity game that we played out?
Yeah, I mean, like the last one was, although you beat us 8-3, it was really enjoyable. Like it was a good experience, obviously for a great charity. And I think my biggest concern this time, lads, is I'm so unfit. I was unfit back then, but now I'm even like worse. So I'm trying to get a bit of fitness in. I don't know what. Obviously, I've got no idea who the lads on my team are because it's a various amount of channels, isn't it? Like Brighton, Liverpool fan channels. So hopefully they got some ringers, and hopefully we're on the right side of the result this time, because you'd
It has
actually spanked
amused.
us, didn't you?
It has amused me how many people have kind of just thought, you know what, 3 week little pre-season in before the game, it's interesting. And next thing you know, you're all probably pulling up with injuries the first time you go for a run out, like Dan just said, getting a blister. I think Price, he said he'd done his groin in a game in the week. I was just like, well, what do you expect if you haven't played football all year round?
It
It's
was
not a
so hot last
surprise.
time, though, wasn't it? The
It
weather,
was.
the last.
It was.
Hopefully, it's a bit cooler, because that just killed everyone, I think.
It was roasted.
Yeah.
I did announce in our WhatsApp groups earlier that unfortunately the kit that I picked for myself is a size too small, if you can believe it. I looked like Adama with a podgy belly earlier when I tried it on. The arms were like I basically ordered. There's a player on Harry's team who's got a triple XL, and basically my shirt pocket square compared to his shirt. But Harry, don't let that fool you. I've got good players on your side this time. I promise you, I have sort of increased the difficulty level for the fan cast on this occasion because obviously Matt Cooper was unavailable for the Talking Wolves club. He was in the dugout last time. There was a few
Dazzling Dave, though,
random players. Yeah. I think you had like two raffle winners.
He's like our Lionel Messi.
Is the king of Wolf social media? Is the king of Wolf social media, whether you like it or not? He's got the most followers. He's got the most subscribers. He is all the Wolves youth on Twitter. He is clear. He's gone. Whether you like him or not, he's clear. And all we have to do is just aspire to his levels of and subscribers and followers.
As we know, he never misses.
Yeah. He never misses a free kick, and if he gets the chance on the 2nd of June, the Wolves fancast will feel the wrath of Dazzling Dave's free kicks. Like I said, we play it on June 2nd at Molyneux on behalf of the Mental Health Charity Mind. If you can help us with a fundraiser, it's I'm frustrated we haven't raised £1 million, but hopefully one day we can get at least £10,000. On tonight's episode, because I've been waffling for too long now, we're going to be talking about Nelson Semedo's new contract, Julian Opetegui being frustrated at the comments from Jeff Shea, apparently that he hasn't got the war chest that he was thinking after being promised such promising potential at Wolves. And we're going to be talking about tomorrow's game at home to Everton. Harry, you're a new guest to the Wolves Fancast tonight, and I always ask the guests the questions when we first come on. Who's your favourite Wolves player that isn't Steve Ball?
It would probably have to be Kenny Miller. Just because of the era, obviously I was a young lad at the time. I was probably about between like 11 and 14 when he was at Wolves, and he was just like my hero at that age. Obviously, when you're that age, you just adore football, don't you? So Kenny Miller, definitely.
Kenny Miller, when he first came on loan from Rangers, just before he'd done his collarbone at Arms Nottingham Forest, was electric up front Nathan Blake and Dean Sturridge at that time. He was just unreal, wasn't he, Gully?
To be fair, he had some moments, man, as a player. Like, you know, scored in the playoff final, goals against United and Liverpool, which you won't forget. The only two he scored in the Premier League. But, He was that kind of guy that turned up at the right times. I always thought the best Kenny Miller was him and George and Dar up top towards the end of the promotion season. Them two were really enjoying themselves at that point.
There's one away game, you know, when we absolutely battered Norwich City away.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think Kenny Miller scored like a left foot. I think George and Dar might have got one. I think it was in the white away kit. It was like one of them games where you just knew we had momentum behind us. The comments are already coming in, guys. Thanks for those who are joining on YouTube tonight. Obviously, Stu's being on here is like when X-Men Quicksilver appeared in WandaVision.
That goes completely over my head, guys. Like, literally about three people get it. And, you know, thanks for the contributions,
Stu. Matt, Andy, and Cage Fighting's one of 100 followers.
Yeah.
Obviously, a few people commenting, taking the mick out of my shirt, so I saying, did I mean 2 to 3 years old? Peter Yam Yam 54 saying, again, more bullshit from Jeff Shea does this most years in regards to the FFP restraint, which we'll talk about a bit more in depth in a few minutes. Let's talk about game week 37 for the time being before we get into depth about Wolves Everton. Tottenham kick off the weekend at home to Brentford. Obviously, Ivan Toney has been suspended until January next season, which in my mind is probably the nail in the coffin that Villa didn't need in their hunt for seventh place. I think Tottenham will have just about enough to beat them tomorrow, although Tottenham are pretty awful at the moment. Bournemouth home to Man United, Fulham versus Palace, Liverpool at home to Aston Villa. obviously Wolves versus Everton and Nottingham Forest at home tonight to Arsenal at 5:30 tomorrow. Where's your money this weekend's fixtures, Harry, on who's a banker for a win?
Banker for a win. I'll tell you what, I'm going to go with Liverpool. I know Villa have been playing better, but I'm going to go with Liverpool.
What about you, Gully?
Well, I mean, first thing that sprung to mind was Southampton are 11s away at Brighton. Like, is that real? Like, 11-1? That's what we're saying.
I don't know. Is that like the decimal?
Yeah.
I think that is 11-1, yeah? That looks right to
Jesus
me.
Jesus Christ, that is frightening. Yeah, I'm going
to
go.
It's confusing now because Leeds can't be sort of 2.4-1 to win at home to Leeds, surely?
No, but it's like 2-2 or 2-3, isn't it? Like the equivalent. It's mathematically, I'm not going to get into it, but yeah, it does make sense eventually.
Go on.
Do you know what? Newcastle's probably the bank, isn't it? I think yeah. Leicester are going down. Yeah.
I think it's between Everton, Leeds, and Leicester. Everton could be safe by the time Leicester play on Monday night. I was on BBC WM a bit earlier on this evening, and I'm the same with you, Harry. I predicted Liverpool to beat Villa 4-1 tomorrow. I feel Liverpool still need the points. They're still in the hunt for fourth place, aren't they? So I think they'll absolutely steamroll Villa tomorrow. And unlucky Villa, and getting spanked. obviously, the team news that came out yesterday wasn't really anything that Lopetegui gave away in regards to sort of team news exactly. He keeps talking about how we need to be our very best to the end. Obviously, every position in the league table has got increased prize money. He mentioned in last game we beat Everton 2-1. Honestly, we didn't deserve to win this match, but in the end, we got what was more important for us, which was belief. And he went on to talk about the pre-season tour. His comments were, "We are going to go far away. I think that we are going to have good facilities and work hard. The aim of pre-season is only this, no more. Sometimes you are close to home, sometimes you are not. But this is the decision of our club." Doesn't seem like he's really keen on career there for me, Harry. What's your sort of feeling on the pre-season tour? Will any of the 77 club be doing another drive?
Oh my God, yeah, imagine driving. We did look into it. A couple of the lads couldn't, but it's pricey, isn't it? I don't know if you've all looked. Yeah. Very expensive flights.
The cheapest flight that I found that was direct from London to Seoul was something like $2,500.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But in terms of Lopetegui wanting to go there, probably not. But it's got to be done, hasn't it? It's good for the growth of the club, I guess, with the connections we've got with Korea. So it'd be interesting to see how it goes out there. I wonder how many fans will go. Surely we ain't going to take too many with them prices, are we? But
we've got loads over there, so it don't matter.
Yeah, good point. Really good point, yeah. Loads. I mean, like, people travelling from here, though. Not so sure how many we'll have.
Yeah, the Hee Chan army will be out in full force in Korea, aren't they? I don't think Fosun will be paying people to support Wolves in grounds on this tour like they did in the Asia Cup a few seasons ago when we beat Man City on penalties. The news that came out of Everton, there's only really one big doubt for them is that Mikalenko at left-back's likely to be out. And Sean Dyche said there's a possible system change to accommodate the loss of full-backs due to injury. Obviously, Seamus Coleman is out for the rest of the season. I'm not sure where Nathan Patterson is in regards to fitness. Mikalenko's likely to be out, as he mentioned. So Dwight McNeil could possibly play left-back or left-wing-back for Everton. Obviously, the one player that's not going to be featuring in the game tomorrow is Connor Cody. Harry, what's your sort of feelings on Cody? Because for me, he's back for pre-season.
Yeah, but I when he left, I was probably, I don't know, I think the majority wanted him to stay, didn't they? Especially the older generation, I don't know if that's bad to say. But I thought it was time for him to move on, to be honest. And I don't want, as bad as it sounds, because obviously he's a top bloke, real top bloke, great captain, obviously. Really good career with us. But for me, I think it's time to move on. I don't want him back. If Everton don't want him, if they get relegated, hopefully he moves on. Because I think it's just time to move on from that generation now and kick on and get Lopetegui to get his own men in.
There's a lot of sort of transfer sagas ahead of us this summer, Gully. Obviously, Ruben Neves is the big one. But where does Connor Cody end up for you this summer, Gully? Because like Harry just said, there's no sort of system in place for Cody this summer. I'm not sure where he fits in because obviously if we're back four now, he's got no place there. Where does he end up? Because you even look at the sort of the promoted sides, Burnley, Sheffield United, they haven't got a system that can accommodate Connor Cody.
Well, I think Sheffield United still play with a back three, don't they? I think so. That's the only one you could maybe call out. But he's been basically binned off by two managers now who have wanted to play with the back four. When Sean Dyche went in, he went straight for his tried and trusted Burnley pair, Tarkowski and Michael Keane. So, and from what I've heard and read, like, Michael Keane isn't even rated at Everton, but he's still getting in the team ahead of him. So, yeah, I thought about it while you were asking that question. I thought maybe Sheffield United, if they wanted to just stiffen up in terms of numbers, but I don't think he goes in and walks into the team necessarily, because I think John Egan tends to play kind of that middle role, and he's a bit of a stalwart there. They've got Ahmed Hodzic, who's a seriously good defender as well.
Alma Hodzic, you just mentioned, how sort of, I don't want to sort of class you as smug, but when players like that sort of go on to the levels that sort of you and Dan Butler talked about in depth in that early summer transfer recruitment guidance, how does that make you sort of feel?
It's. I think it's more frustration than anything. It's not smugness, because you want play your club to unearth gems. And to be fair, when you think about it, we've not been as bad as people might think, because we've got people like Kilman and Totti in our first team now, you know, and they've basically come out of nowhere. Hugo Bueno kind of came out of nowhere. João Gomes is probably one of those where, you know, he could have come over to Europe and then got a move to the Premier League. And that's what a lot of teams tend to do, rather than taking that gamble straight out of South America. So I'm glad we've taken a punt on him, because he'll end up being, I mean, we've all seen him, a £45-50 million player. But teams don't like to take that gamble, it seems, when, you know, they want to see how they settle in into a better club, into a lower club. But someone like Ahmed Hodzic now, I can't see Sheffield United accepting less than 25, 30 million for him. And he was going for peanuts from Bordeaux last season. Like, it was absolutely nothing.
Obviously, the other player that we've been linked to in the last week is another one that you sort of said potentially we should go for, which is Riddle Baku.
Riddle Baku, yeah. 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 It's an interesting one, if obviously with the announcement that Semedo has been extended, because he'd have been ideal for that role for me. But if you're looking at a player who will likely provide more from the right back position, maybe not necessarily as solid defensively as Semedo, I think he'd be a great option, just because he's able to provide a bit more quality from the wide area. And I don't think our crossing from the fullback positions has been good enough by any means at all.
I'm not sure what the actual YouTube handle is now, but obviously someone else commented, wow, what part of the Bullyverse is this in regards to Harry being on the show tonight? We are in advanced talks to get Dazzling Dave on in the next fortnight to come on the show. We're just trying to negotiate an appearance fee. Like I said, it's clear, guys, Dazzling Dave appearing on the fan cast is it's below his remit. So we are in talks, and hopefully we can get it done before the charity match. You guys, you're laughing. There are talks occurring. Last time out, obviously, we got beat by Man United 2-0 away, which is a massively frustrating performance. Everton got spanked at home to Man City. Did you catch any of the Everton-Man City game, Harry?
I didn't, actually. I watched a bit of the 5-1 when they won away at Brighton, but I didn't catch the City game. Obviously, no shame.
What have you made of Everton up passing those two? Brighton performance.
Well, the Brighton performance shocked me. I did not see it coming. Obviously, classic counter-attacking style, wasn't it? And just punished them. And for how well Brighton been playing, obviously put six past us. So never in a million years did I see that coming. That scares me a bit for this game coming, because obviously they've gone and done that there. They're probably thinking, well, we can easily do that to Wolves. But obviously I don't think they'll look too much into that City result, will they? Everyone loses to City, especially at the moment. But I'm worried. I really am worried, especially if we play like we did against Man United and half the players don't want to be on the pitch because they're already thinking on what holiday they're going on or what a club they're going to. So, yeah, it'd be a tough one. And I just hope we can stop their threat, which seems to be the counter-attack if you're going off the Brighton game.
Everyone keeps on coming out with the sort of saying that Wolves are on the beach. But if you look on some of the players' Instagram last weekend after Man United, some of them was like on boats in like the Mediterranean Sea. They're literally already on holiday. We haven't even finished the season.
How did they get there so quick? They're literally just there, aren't they, straight away?
They're on like Jet 2 and EasyJet straight from Birmingham Airport. And
I reckon they'd have gone from Manchester, man. Like, it ain't that far from there.
We've spoken about Everton recently, Gully, in the WhatsApp group. What have you made to Everton recently in the last few weeks? We've spoken about sort of Alex Iwobi being sort of his importance to Everton in the last few weeks and sort of the intensity with Doucouré that he brings.
To be fair, the conversations we've been having in the context of plucking players from them when they go down, and it's like you can't read this relegation battle. You know, nobody would have said Leicester, even maybe a couple of months ago, people wouldn't have said Leicester, you know, would have been stuck in it like they are. I want Everton to go down because they failed so often for so many years. You shouldn't be able to survive the level of incompetence that they've basically shown over the last few years. They look like they might pull it out of the bag just by getting Dyche in. And, you know, I have no satisfaction in saying that, knowing that Stu is probably watching right now. But it's just an absolute shower of a club to an extent. I still can't see them necessarily having a good crack at it next year because they haven't got a foundation for it. I don't think they've necessarily got a lot of finance behind them to go and pull away from the situation that they're in either. So they might as well go down, please.
There is talks of a potential takeover by 777 Partners at the moment for Everton, which is in the figures of around 770 million or something like that. It was a mad fee for Everton, considering the amount of money that Moshiri's put into the club. Obviously, they're building a new stadium next to the docks now. You look at their squad there on the right, like you just said, Gully, there isn't a massive foundation to build from. They have got a few good players. Calvert-Lewin, for me, is still the most frustrating striker in the world because on his days off, decent. But we talk about the charity game, guys. I think we're fitter than Calvert-Lewin. He's a shambles. He's a shambles, isn't he, fitness-wise? He just can't stay fit, can he, Harry?
No, but when he's on it, and he's a really good striker. But like you say, yeah, I saw an interview or I saw a quote somewhere. He said it runs in his family, doesn't it? Like injuries like that. So he's always going to have it, which I don't think the Everton fans wanted to hear. But like you say, they got a new stadium being built. Like if they go down, it'd be an absolute travesty. But I think their fans, which maybe a few clubs are guilty of, is they think they're huge. They are a huge club, don't get me wrong, but their fans are so entitled. They just think there's no way we should be able to go down. They've never been relegated from the Premier League, have they, I believe? So
no.
It'd be massive. Well, it'd be good. I want them to go down. I've gone with Gully. I really want them to go down. But yeah, I think they'll stay up because they've obviously got us. And then is it Bournemouth they've got last game?
Yeah.
So I think they're favoured there, aren't they?
Yeah, they've got a decent running, really. Mm.
Yeah. I think Leeds are gone. I genuinely do. I think it's Leicester and Leeds now. I think it's hard to say. It's difficult to say. I think Everton are going to pick up a result tomorrow, but we'll talk about that a bit more in a bit. Because you talked about Everton in there, like that side there, and they've obviously got Jordan Pickford. There isn't really any defensive players within that squad that sort of stand out for me that I think we should be looking at. You got Garner and who's the other midfielder? Oh, no, and Gully, who I think we've spoken about in the group. Who else would you sort of cherry pick from Everton?
Andy Lonergan, purely.
I don't need that in my life again. I genuinely believe, and you've seen me, 5'3", I'm better than Andy Lonergan in goal.
what a flashback that was to see his name. The career he's ended up having after leaving Wolves. Like, he's had a stint at Liverpool as well, hasn't he? Just pitched up in Scotland as a homegrown quota player, which is amazing. To be honest, at the point Burnley went down, was it? No, it was only last season, wasn't it? But when we were still playing with Nuno's system, I thought McNeil would have been a really good wing back. And if they end up going back to that system tomorrow because they're running out of fullbacks, he's going to be a bit of a threat. He can kind of dominate a flank by himself. And he showed in that Brighton game, man, like when he gets around the penalty area, he actually has real good quality and composure, which we lack. Yeah, all the time.
He couldn't seem to sort of fathom that he'd rounded the keeper away at Brighton. I know he sort of celebrated before he put the ball in there, but there was a sort of a hesitation, like he was, I'm actually going to score here. And I just thought that was, like, you talk about composure. One goal that he scored, the near post was a cracking finish. But yeah. He did not look composed when he rounded the keeper, although he did in the end.
I think they got the Jason Steele from the Sunderland Till I Die documentary for that game, didn't they? And not the one that's been playing for Brighton.
Talking about sort of goalkeepers, obviously Scott Carson is going to, if Man City win the Champions League, he's going to join like a list of like legends, like Paolo Maldini, who have won like the Champions League twice. And is it two different clubs or something mad? Next, Palo Maldini's I play for one. Andy Scott Carson's joining like a list of some random proper like iconic footballers who have like won the Champions League.
What's the story with him? Is it because he's like best mates with? Why is he there? Like, it's weird, isn't it? Why Carson's even in the squad still?
Was he linked to like Richard Wright, who was like the sub goalkeeper for like 10 years or something? The goalkeeper. Maddest thing was like he actually like played a game in the group stage this season, didn't he, Scott Carson?
Yeah,
he did. The clean sheet. Obviously, let's talk about Wolves, Everton. Wolves got beat 2-0 last weekend. What sort of changes are you expecting to that lineup on the left there, Harry, for Wolves' last time game of the season? Do you expect any of the likes of sort of Moutinho, Jimenez, Johnny to feature tomorrow? Give him a send-off.
Yeah, I think there'll be a few changes personally, just because of that reason. For me, I wouldn't want him to. I'd want him to start the same team that played at United, although they were poor, but against Villa, they performed quite well. So hopefully Cunha and Costa can have a bit more supply if they do start. But yeah, it's anyone's guess, isn't it? I'm not too sure what Lopetegui's thoughts will be on this, because every time Adama's come on, for example, he looked interested. Obviously, Raul got a really good reception from the away end when he came on. Will he get a start for a good buy? Be interesting, because you don't want to go too soft, do you? Because it's a big game, really, for other teams. I know we don't care about them, but we play such a weak team, we don't want to be like Mick McCarthy territory back in the day when fines were coming out. But no, it'd be interesting. I don't know what he'll do, but I think there'll be a few changes, if I had to guess.
Who's the one player for you, Gully, that you want to see feature tomorrow? In regard to the players that we talk about having a farewell.
Not about a farewell. I haven't seen Boubacar Traore for so long, man. I want to see that bloke. Genuinely, like he was a bit of a bright spot in a shit start to the season. I've lost the sense of sentiment around it now. Like in Lopetegui, it's the way he was talking. He said something like, after the United game, you know, we have to remember where we've come from. We've come against a really good team, etc., etc. That performance against United was just limp. Like it was really disappointing, and it felt like the whole team, the whole club, has kind of checked out of this season and just want it over ASAP. And I think the fans, to a degree, do as well. So with that in mind, I'd rather just see players who are going to be here next season. I'm not that bothered. You know, if you want to bring people on for a 5-minute wave to the crowd for towards the end of the game, fine, we can do that. We've got 5 substitutions to play with. If you want to
one player I want to see is Aitnori. I don't know if he'll be here next year. Obviously, I don't know if Lopetegui likes him, but I really like Aitnori. So I'm really annoyed with how it's gone with him. So he's been on the bench, hasn't he? Yeah. He's been on the bench recently, so will he feature? I don't know. But I'm like, he scored that winner, didn't he? Way at Everton, he come on.
Exactly.
Like, so I wish he'd stay, but I doubt he will, because I think he's got attitude problems by the sounds of it, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure where it's necessary attitude problem. From what I gather, Lopetegui just likes players who are a bit more intense. And like you said, look at Aitnori. He just looks so relaxed, doesn't he? He's basically still a teenager that's just here for a bit of a kick about and earn his wage at the moment, isn't there? He's had struggles with his fitness since he joined the club. There was a period where he couldn't like last 90 minutes without getting some form of cramp. But like, I'm with you, Harry. I think he's an exceptional talent. If he does properly knuckle down, and we can create a system that exploits all of his best attributes, because I don't think he's poor defensively, but he's just so much better going forward, isn't he?
Yeah.
No, he's not a bad defender. I think that's the problem that he's got. He's Lopetegui's probably trying to give him a kick up the arse, and he's just one of those people who can't be kicked up the arse. Do you know what I mean? And it's a shame, because like you say, people have probably, I mean, it's well documented, top clubs have been watching him, you know, because they can see the talent there. And it's like, you know, would he be a bit more fussed if he was playing at a higher level for a different manager? You know, apparently City have watched him, because that could do with a left-sided defender, couldn't they? You know, would Pep Guardiola get a tune out of him?
I still think he's got a future. Left midfield, left wing. Well, he come on against Villa, didn't he? Villa Park, left wing, and caused a few problems. Obviously, I think he could do a job there.
Liverpool in the cup, he played well there, I remember.
Yeah, I think he prefers it as well, because he's got no responsibility of... No. Like, it's not, you know, he has to track back, obviously, but... Yeah, and he's
you know, really sort of my... You know my opinions on some of our forward players, Sarabia, Wang, Pedence. Like you said, I don't feel like Ryan Aitnori from.
Oh, we've lost the host. Go on, Gully, take over.
Take over, Jesus. Ryan Aitnori, eh? What about him? he'll be back with us shortly, I'm sure. Yeah, was there anybody else you fancied having a run out tomorrow? Because, like I say, I just want to see Pete. I want to look to the future now, like as much
yeah.
as to give these guys a bit of a send off.
I think we might see, just because I think Lopetegui absolutely loves him, I think we might see Hwang get a start. I know he come on against United. I think he obviously he'll definitely be here next season. Will he start João Gomes? But he ain't going to drop Neves, is he? Because here we have in his goodbye game.
I would in a heartbeat, honestly.
Really,
I just thought those games when Lamine and Gomes played together.
Brilliant.
Like, that's the best we've seen. Like, bottom line, that's the best we've seen. Of
two massive wins as well, wasn't it? The way we played in those two wins at home. And that made me think, well, I'm not that I'm happy that Neves will go, but I was thinking, I don't think we're missing because Gomes is a talent, isn't he? And like you say, him and Lamine are the energy.
Yeah, I just think Lopetegui's not using Neves to the best of his abilities. You know what I mean? Like, as in, you know, we know what he's good at. It's getting on the ball, it's dictating play, all that sort of stuff. But he's asking him to go and like run a lot, and he's not good at running a lot. Like, so
that's right.
It just doesn't make sense to me to try and ask him to do that job. It's like, you know, we've had Dendonka trying to hit the box and score goals over the last few years, which was never really his game.
It's frustrating, though, because I think of the game against Leicester. Obviously, he didn't start. And then when he came on, I thought it just drastically dipped because Gomes and Lamina in midfield were so good. He comes on, he sits so deep, doesn't he? Sometimes never.
It would have been fine if we were still 1-0 up. I don't think it would have been too bad because they pulled it back just before half time. That didn't help either.
No, that's true. Yeah,
but we totally dominated that first half. We should have been 2-0 up probably. You know, with the amount of possession that we had in that game.
Obviously Cunha scored, and it'd be nice for him to get a goal tomorrow. I really like Cunha. That run he did against Villa.
He's genius. Talent-wise, he's genius, but it's just you need to get him around the penalty area more and getting on the ball a bit more.
Obviously everyone's getting carried away with him and Costa, wanting Costa to stay on, but I doubt we'll see him, especially with the wages. I think they want to be shipping Costa off. Oh, he's back.
Great conversation, lads. I just thought I'd leave it to you because I'm just having an absolute mare here tonight. It's just having Harry on. I'm just completely flustered because I know I'm coming up against you at centre back on second. I'm just flustered. I've already got the sweats.
The hat's turned around and everything.
Yeah. I've literally had to just sprint downstairs and get my battery charger because I completely forgot that it wasn't in until about 10 minutes ago when I had the notification I had 10% left. But I couldn't find the right time to just bow out, so I had to just cut out. I'm not even sure where we were talking about Aitnori, about his talent. Obviously, Nelson Semedo's had his contract extension triggered this week. What was your thoughts on that, Harry? Because I know there are certain members of the 77 club who aren't Nelson Semedo fans, but that's not yourself, is it?
Well, Bayliss, he's never rated him since he first watched him play and he won't change his mind. But what I will say, he did actually say today, that since Lopetegui's come in, he thinks he's improved a lot, which is true.
Since Lopetegui's come in, since Craig Dawson's come in.
Yeah.
He has made that whole defence, even Kilman to the side of him, look so much assured since January. Definitely. And that's coincided with sort of the amount of clean sheets that we've got at home.
Yeah, there was that game. Was it Palace away this season when he had an absolute shocker? And I was thinking to myself, he's going to be gone. Like, he didn't look like he's enjoying it. And he's had a bit of a lease of life. And he gets forward a bit more now, I've noticed. He just goes sideways so much. But now he'll actually try and get round the back and get balls in and that. Defensively, he can have his howlers. But I think defensively, he's always been okay. But it was just getting forward for me. Obviously, coming in and replacing Doherty, like everyone was just comparing straight away. Is he going to score as many goals as Doherty did? Is he going to get as many assists? And it didn't start very well for him, did it? So a lot of fans, like Bayliss, already made their mind up and were not willing to give him a chance because obviously his price tag as well. But for me, he's brilliant. I'm so happy that they've extended the contracts. There was rumours that we couldn't with the FFP, weren't there? But thankfully, it's been done. I think he deserves it.
Some creative accountings occurred this week for that. What's your thoughts on Semedo having his contract extended, Gully? Because there is a stigma and a bandwagon in regards to Nelson Semedo. I'm not sure whether it's from Bayliss of the 77 Club or a football commentator who used to live in Codsall who absolutely hates Nelson Semedo. But there is a stigma about Nelson Semedo. Like Harry mentioned, people thought him coming in for Doherty, the pedigree, the transfer fee coming from Barcelona, he was going to score more than Doherty, assist more than Doherty. But it hasn't really gone that way, has it?
We were just talking about this, about players having roles that are not suited to. Like, if you're expecting Semedo to come in and do Doherty's job, like for like, it was never going to be the case. So people measuring him by that expectation is totally unfair. And I think the problem was, like you say, he didn't start well, but the whole team kind of dropped its levels. And because he was the big signing at the time, everyone pointed to him and basically said, well, he's not giving us anything, but he's also a fullback.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
With all the will in the world, you could have the best fullback on the planet. He's not going to transform the way a team plays. There's other stuff that I think I just find. It feels like to me people don't understand the role he's being asked to play a lot. Like the Brighton game, people crucified him for not losing his runner and little things like that. But he was asked to take up a high position, and you know he's the one giving the width in this system. You know, we don't play with wingers, so our fullbacks have to get high up the pitch. So they might leave space in behind. And, you know, Craig Dawson is not very fast. You know, if you get in open space against Craig Dawson, you're going to look a little bit under the cosh. But it made sense to do the extension. Look, it's a straightforward thing. Even if you do intend on selling him in the summer and maybe investing that money elsewhere and getting somebody else in, hopefully Reid Labacu if we're going to do it. But it made total sense.
Yeah, obviously, you touched on it there. Gully, a certain football commentator, laying into Nelson Semedo for the one Brighton goal when it was clearly two or three other players that you could have actually cemented that goal.
There's a whole video in this you can watch, believe it or not, on our YouTube channel. So feel free to tune in.
Yeah, Gully's tactical analysis, if you aren't aware. Drop a quick like if you're joining us watching on the show tonight. Like the fact that I'm useless and just had to fall off camera. Just drop a like for Harry giving us his time this evening. Drop a like for Gully becoming a dad recently. Just drop us a quick like. It's free. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, because like I said, we're all aspiring to catch Dazzling Dave, and we're about 400,000 subscribers behind Dazzling Dave now. He's been going a lot longer. He does a lot of vlogs. Like I said, we all aspire to be that level, because whether you like it or not, Wolves' social media is clear. Clear. 100% keep the asset. That was the whole point with keeping Nelson Semedo on, wasn't he? Letting a player of that calibre go on a free was massive. One of the biggest things that surprised me about that news sort of release was the fact that not only were the club and Lopetegui pushing for it, that Nelson Semedo actually still wanting to be here. Because being a free agent, you can sort of get a big signing on fee. Surely you would have clubs on the continent who would gladly have his services. I was massively surprised. He must have settled in the area well, like Neves and the likes have done.
Yeah, I agree. I thought he'd want to go, to be honest. Just the vibe he gives off. And he's had a lot of stick, sometimes unfairly as well. So that's what made me think he's just going to go, that he's not going to want to renew. So like you say, I think he gets on with a lot of the players as well, doesn't he? Do you see the Instagram posts and that he's always with Neves out and about and things like that? Casino parties I saw the other week. There was all that in someone's house. But yeah, I'm with you, Dan. I'm quite surprised that he wanted to.
My biggest worry now is, and we just kept him on, and we were going to do a sort of Benny Cafobi transfer where he's going to be sold for money this summer because, you know, a quick nominal fee just to get some money in.
Because we're skint, aren't we?
We're skint. We're basically £5 more in pocket than the Albion are. I took this squad photo from earlier on the season off the internet earlier. Obviously, Bruno Lage there at the front, Diego Costa there just after he signed. Look at some of the players there. We've got Yerson Mosquera at the back, Chem Campbell, Connor Rowland's left, Chiquinho there, Raul, Sasha Kolasinac, Guedes actually smiling there, which is mind-boggling. Obviously, Adama there on the front row, Johnny. There's a few players that are expected to leave in the summer. Which sort of players should we be building our squad around? Because Ruben Neves isn't... He's still the legend that we all want to keep, Harry, but is he the player we should be building a squad around next season?
Who was that, sorry?
Neves.
Well, if he's here, obviously. But if not, me and Gully was just saying, João Gomes and Lamina, a bit of a tasty partnership in midfield, so we can build the team around those two. Up front's going to be weird, because obviously Costa will probably go. Will Kolasinac be any good? We don't know, because we've seen him for 45 minutes. Will Fabio Silva want to come back from his loan? Probably not, from what you're hearing. So it's going to be interesting. Dawson, obviously, at the back. Sorry, going back to what you said earlier about who would you want to see? I do want to see Collins start. I want to see Collins for Kilman. So I think, although I think Kilman's been decent, he has made a few mistakes, and I thought he was at fault for the first goal against United. So yeah, those are, yeah, that I think if Neves goes, Gomez and Lamina are the future.
Collins was fucking massive in that photo, man. Like he's basically level with Kolasinac, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he is, yeah.
Only because Kolasinac's got like a peanut head.
Well, maybe, but he's supposed to be 6'7", isn't he, Kolasinac? Nobody says Collins is particularly tall.
Is it me, or does Collins look about 29 as well, not like 22 or whatever he is?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
He's had a hard pipe around in Ireland before he left for like Burnley and Stoke. Kolasinac is the sort of monopoly card, sort of chance card, isn't he, in the summer? He could be one of the greatest strikers that we've ever seen in the Premier League, or he could be the next Meyerhoffer.
it's a
really big situation with him. He's looking strong in his Instagram videos, doing, he's sort of jumping on his one knee from box to box, but we just don't know what sort of caliber he is. He looked pretty handy on the YouTube highlight reels, but so did Jeffrey Majanjibia, so he's a massive conundrum, isn't he? You mentioned sort of João Gomes and Mario Lemina. There is a few players there. Obviously, we've already let Connor Rowland go. There's going to be players like Ryan Giles who may leave this summer if he doesn't impress Lopetegui in the summer. You could look at the likes of maybe Podence.
Chiquinho's an interesting one. Well, he'd be like,
yeah, if he can have a good pre-season, he's an exciting one for the future. The only thing that concerns me with Chiquinho is he doesn't seem the sort of forward player that Lopetegui may like, Gully, because he's basically an out-and-out winger like Neto, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a role in the team for him. And, like you say, it'd be interesting to see. I think you always need that type of player, even if it's to change a game after an hour or so.
You look at that Chelsea away game last season where he set up Connor Cody. That all came with basically his rawness of just wanting to lump balls in the box. And like you said, we need that sort of option, don't we?
It was a brilliant performance because he always put quality in, though, whenever he played. Like, he'd always put quality into the box, and it's invaluable, man. And, you know, he can beat a man as well. He's not just literally, you know, teeing off just to cross the ball from wherever he is. So it's just a shame what happened to him with his injury, because it was a bad one, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, the picture of his injury was so bad, I refused to put it on our social media. And I still had people DM me saying, show us the picture. And I was like, you rubberneckers. it was a horrible injury. Hopefully he can come back the player he was, because like you said, it was exciting to watch, similar to Adama, but with a bit of execution on his crosses to a degree. Obviously Adama and Chiquinho get you off your seats. I still think Adama gets a lot of slander for his crosses, because I've mentioned it so many times that we just don't get enough bodies in the box. He's gonna go to a top side this summer, and he's gonna make double figures on assists, I'm telling you, because the top teams in Europe, they get bodies in the box, and we've just struggled for that since the Nuno football, haven't we, to a degree?
Yeah. There was that one spell, wasn't there, when he kept setting up Raul under Nuno, that little run he had. But yeah, really, just on Chiquinho, like, I think comparing it to the Neto, since Neto's come back, he hasn't been the same, has he? So whether Chiquinho can get that little bit of form we did see, like you mentioned Chelsea away, will be interesting. But because for me, Neto, I thought he played well against Villa, to be fair to him, but he's a shadow of his former self, isn't he, since he's returned?
He's had two big injuries now, hasn't he? Yeah. Like I mentioned, Gully, with Neto, obviously Lopetegui's been persevering, playing him on the right, which hasn't worked. I'm not sure why he still attempts that, but is Neto the type of forward player that fits the style of player that Lopetegui is trying to instill?
It doesn't look like it's working at the minute, does it? Because he's, even when he plays on the left, which you'd say suits him a bit more, because we're playing with like a narrow midfield, it doesn't feel like he's going to be in the open space that he needs to be in. Because look, he's at his best when he's getting a yard on his man to try and do something, you know, getting away from him with his pace. So you want to try and get him in that situation as often as possible. I don't think that's going to happen where he's playing at the moment. Against Villa, he had a decent game, but until Ashley Young went off, he didn't actually try and run at him. Yeah, Ezri Konsa went to fullback then. I think he beat him the first time he ran at him. But for whatever reason, Ashley Young just spooked him. And he was keeping pace with him for the whole game as well. So he needs a pre-season to really get back to it, I think, which is what we said last year, didn't we?
That's the concern with Pedro Neto. He had, obviously, the Benidorm pre-season, which is the pinnacle pre-season for Wolves fans if you want to go somewhere. He had a good pre-season and then picked up another injury earlier on into the season. I think he had a decent game at home to Newcastle when St. Maximum scored. Yeah. At the end, but like I said, he hasn't really reached anywhere near the peak of previously because he's had two big injuries, hasn't he? It's massively frustrating because I mean, he was being linked to Arsenal at the end of the summer transfer window, yeah, wasn't he? So he must have been doing something right. And he was, you know, talks a lot, £50 million, which at the time we were like, we can't let Neto go, but
he needs
to get back into form, doesn't he? Otherwise, like I said, we probably won't make a massive amount of money. I'm not sure how many years he's got left on his contract now, it's got to be about maybe 2-3 with a trigger, maybe.
Not sure actually on that one.
Someone have a look on the comment section and let us know. Pixel Yeti Media in the comment section have commented this evening saying the Express and Star article seemed very staged. Did either of you get any gist of that?
So I weren't that up to speed on this. So he had to take some stuff down. Is this Liam Keane who put this out?
There was a comment that apparently Jorge Mendes actively tried to sabotage the João Gomez.
I saw that.
Yeah. And then within like 24 hours, that was taken down from the website.
Yeah. Strange one, because I'm assuming before he put it out, Liam would have really checked out everything, wouldn't he? So maybe he got a message off the club or something. I don't know. That they didn't.
Probably. There'd have been a threat in there somewhere.
It's what? This is why it's key to be a news aggregator on social media, because all you have to do is quote someone else and you're void of any accountability.
It's the future.
I think Lopetegui played system that he needs to get the points on board and get to the end of the season, which is, like you said, back in December, that was key, wasn't it? Just points before performance.
Oh, yeah, like the reverse fixture coming up the weekend, that was so big, wasn't it? That last-minute winner against Everton, that just kick-started everything. And even the Southampton away win at that point. I still can't believe we've survived, to be honest. I remember we spoke about it back then and we were all unanimous saying we're going to get relegated. So the job he's done has been incredible, to be fair to him.
That first game was the first time we'd come from behind to win a game since before Bruno Lage had taken charge or something.
God, that's mad, isn't it?
Which was crazy. So you saw what he instilled immediately at that in terms of them getting back into the game.
So obviously 3 o'clock tomorrow at home to Everton at Molineux. What's your score prediction, Harry? Wolves Everton.
I'd like to be optimistic and be biased, but I'm actually going to say 2-1 to Everton. I think because obviously it's massive for them, isn't it? They'll be nervy, but yeah, I think they'll edge it because as we've mentioned, we'll probably chop and change a little bit. Some players probably won't be too motivated. So, yeah, I'll go for an Everton win 2-1.
I'd like to think with Ruben Neves being club captain that he'll want to go out on a high if he is likely to leave this summer, which I think he will this summer. I think Jorge Mendes will play one of his kings or queens in the Mendes chess and he'll be out the door this summer because, like you said, there's money to be made off the back of that signing, isn't the Gully?
So what you're saying is lump on Neves 5 shots from outside the box tomorrow to soak him, you know, really make his mark.
Yeah, just the one shot on target, but five attempts.
Exactly. Yeah.
You got to test Jordan Pickford and his little arms tomorrow. Jack Williams has commented saying, is Harry going to be handing a transfer request to the 77 club at the end of the season?
Anything to keep away from Jack. Anything. So maybe.
I mean, it might be the case, Harry, that if we beat you again on June the 2nd, it might be a case of if you can't beat them, join them. But that's just from a conversation to be had.
Just on the charity game and Jack. Jack probably is the worst player to ever play at Molineux, by the way. I don't know if you can remember him. He come on and bless him. It was painful, wasn't it, Jack?
I think out of the four of you, Bayliss was the most fit.
He was fit as a fiddle, yeah, to be fair to
him. Well, I think you had probably the better ability out of the four.
Well, it's funny. Out of all four of us, I'm the only one who's ever played like Sunday League or anything. So, but I just was not fit. I think I last played when I was 24. So it's been a while.
Didn't Bayliss play right back as like a little tribute to Semedo?
Yeah, and then he put a cross like he needed at the top of the North Bank, so we ripped him for that. Because all he did is slag Semedo's crossing off, and then he did one of them.
My favourite Bayliss highlight of that game was his Lee Naylor highlight where he gave you, was it you, the quick throwing gully to Luke?
Yeah, he fetched the ball for me and then I threw it. Right into where he would have been if he'd got into position, but he was fetching the ball for me very politely. But there was no
Lee Naylor away to Bolton in the Premier League when we conceded late into injury time. It was like identical to that. It was a great day, like Harry said. I know the scoreline was 8-3, and it was like really good for our egos because we needed it at the time. The fan cast, as always, was in the mud, wasn't it, Gully? So to come away with the 8-3 victory and raise like over $3,000 for mine was really good for the day. I think we're at just under £1,500 at the moment on Just Giving. So if you can help us that towards that fundraiser, would be massively appreciated by Mind, who've said numerous times to us now how thankful they are for us for choosing them again on June the 2nd. What's your score prediction for tomorrow, Gully?
I mean. Anybody who watches us away from home will probably think we'll lose, but we're a different team at Molineux at the moment, aren't we? So something tells me it's going to be a drab 0-0. So I'm going to go 0-0.
Gully, I was on BBC WM earlier, like I said, and I predicted 0-0 because I think Wolves, it's going to be similar to that game where we had against Norwich last season, where I feel like we're just going to stink the place out. And it was 1-0. We finished Norwich, wasn't it? Ryan Aitken always scored the header in front of the South Bank, which was like the first goal on the South Bank in about 12 years due to the pandemic. I predicted 0-0 as well. So hopefully we can go out without a defeat because it'll be deflating on it to end the season at Molineux with a defeat with the good home form that we've accumulated recently. Like I said, thanks for joining us on the Wolves Fancast tonight. Drop a quick like, please. It's free. Subscribe to the channel. As always, we're going to end the show with Sudden Death Squads. I'm not sure if you ever listen or watch the fan cast, Harry, because there's so many great other content out there, specifically Dazzling Dave. Because it's clear, guys. It's clear. I'm going to keep saying it until everyone accepts it. It's clear. Hashtag clear. We end all of our shows with Sudden Death Squads. So I pick a game from previous Wolves seasons. Yeah. You have to name a player that's played in that game on that particular day. If he's a sub and he came on, you go again. If you name a player that doesn't feature, you're out of the game. I'm going to come to you first. The fixture is our 3-0 win over Everton at home during the pandemic season behind closed doors from July 2020. Can you name a player that featured that day?
Neto.
Pedro Neto, bear with me a second while I actually pull the picture up. Pedro Neto, I'm not sure if he was, Harry, but bear with me. That's a correct answer. Pedro Neto did start for Wolves that day. Gully?
I think Jimenez scored a penalty.
Jimenez did score for Wolves that day. He put us 1-0 up in the 45th minute. Back to you, Harry.
Cody.
Connor Cody is correct.
Pedence won the penalty, from what I remember.
Correct. If you can guess an Everton player, lads, it would really help the show. This lineup is pretty repetitive during that era of Wolves, but there is a couple of players like that might stumble you. So I'm going to come back to you, Harry.
I'll try and go for an Everton one. I'll go for the one we were talking about, Calvert-Lewin.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin did start for Everton that day, fully.
You're showboating there, aren't you? Yeah, Matt Doherty.
Matt Doherty is correct.
I'll go with Everton again. Seamus Coleman,
luckily for you,
that's risky.
Was a substitute, came on.
Oh, that was risky, I was going to say, because he's in and out, isn't he? So do I go again?
Yeah, as I say, he was a sub who came on, so you got to go again.
Yerry Mina.
Seamus Coleman came on for Yerry Mina, who went off injured. He's got more injuries than Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Yerry Mina.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. Actually, yeah.
Gully.
Lucas Digne.
Yeah. Luca Digne, current Villa left back, is the correct answer. Harry?
Let's go back to Wolves.
Drop us, if anyone's watching, drop us some of your answers in the comments section.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go with Dendonka.
Leander Dendonka put us 2-0 up. I think off it was a Pedro Neto free kick.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay. Let's go with Johnny.
Johnny is a correct answer. It's getting tense there because you're heading towards only Everton listing there.
How many have we got? Most of the Wolves, haven't we? We've got a few Wolves ones left.
You've got five. I think about four or five Wolves still left.
It's like Cody. Was Bolly still there? Was he injured? I'll risk Bolly.
Willie Bolly's a correct answer.
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna go Everton. He who must not be named, Gylfie Sigurdsson.
That's a correct answer.
There we go.
Well done.
This must be the longest running one we've done.
It's
getting close now. It is getting close. I'm surprised. I don't think a goalkeeper's been named yet.
Hold on. Has anyone said Neves? Did we say it?
Ruben Neves had one of his compilation games that day where he absolutely dictated tempo. That's a correct answer.
Yeah, I think Wolves posted the assist for... I mean, Jota came on and scored, from what I remember. So my answer's not Jota, but
I hardly remember the game.
Patricio would have been a goal then, surely.
Yeah, correct answer.
I should have thought of that one. Should we try and go for an Everton one? Let's go with. Did you say Sigurdsson? Did you say that?
I said Sigurdsson.
God, I'm struggling now. Think deep. It's 3 years ago. Might have to go Wolves again and try and be safe. It would have been right wing. Have we said he was right wing? Or if it was before 3-3? I'll go with... this could be a risk. Adama.
He was a substitute who came on.
Oh, God.
We've already said the wingers that day, Harry. Powderson.
Oh, is it already done?
Okay. You missed an absolute sitter, from what I think.
I think. If I'm right,
Neves, Dendonka, Pedence, Neto, Raul. Who was up front then? Oh, Fab. No, I don't want to say that.
And there's only potentially two Wolves players that you've got to name now.
We've had the right back. We've had the left back. You had the left back, didn't you? Because I was going to go really rogue and say, do you know what? He might have come on a sub. I'm going to go with to try and save myself and go again. No, you've said a left back, haven't you, Gully?
I said Johnny, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to go rogue and say Marcel, but I won't go with that. Oh, God, this is tough now.
I couldn't remember Gully saying Johnny, so I believe there's only one Wolves player left now.
Oh, this is tough. So it's got to be someone who was up front, I guess, or...
I'll run through the players that have been named.
Run through the ones you've had.
We've got Rui Patricio. Willie Bolly, Matt Doherty, Connor Cody, Leander Dendonka, Johnny, Neto, Neves, Pedence, and Jimenez.
Oh my god, this is tough.
Yeah, there's only one Wolves player in the starting lineup left.
Do you know what? I'm going to risk it and say Fabio Silva. Probably wrong. Did he come after that? He probably come after, didn't he?
Gully, if you can name me an Everton player that didn't start that day, you win this week's sudden death.
Letting me go for the Wolves one?
Sorry. You got another player that did for Everton.
You're not letting me go for the Wolves one?
No.
I'm not. Okay.
I'm trying to let Harry finally get a win over the fan cast.
I'm assuming Fabio Silva was completely wrong. Did he come after that year?
I don't think he was there at that point.
It was the year. Gully, you also mentioned Neves' assist to Jota that day, which was absolutely outstanding. But everyone seems to forget the miss that Jota had in the second half where he ran through on goal and completely just tripped all over himself.
Yeah, he fumbled it. He fumbled it and he allowed the goalkeeper, Jordan Pickford, to come and claim it.
And that is the winner for Gully on this week's Sudden Death Squads with Jordan Pickford.
Ah, that's a tough one. I've got to put the end. Hard,
that Everton team would have been an absolute shit show, though, I'm sure.
I'll pull the lineup on screen for you now, but the Wolves player that you both couldn't remember was the Moroccan Maldini.
Oh, Roman bloody Saeed. Hell.
And as you can see, some of the Everton players there on the right, Jordan Pickford, Michael Keane, Leighton Baines, Tom Davies, who I think is one of the worst midfielders in Premier League history.
Anthony Gordon played.
Anthony Gordon, who is fraudulently one of the most expensive flops in football history. You could have had Richarlison. And Theo Walcott. Obviously, Everton had five.
How are they playing two left-backs?
Dinya and Baines. Mina, Keane, maybe Dominic Calvert. Anthony Gordon.
I was gonna say Jota, but I thought for some reason in my head my timing's way off. I thought he'd already gone.
Bernard. Jesus.
Yeah.
And Andrew Knight in the comment section did say it's a good 10 minutes before the pair of you came to that conclusion. There is a lot of fear mongering within the comment section tonight. Peter Yamyam 54 saying, sorry guys, a lot of us are worried of this FFP bullshit. How concerned are you, Gully? And like obviously Pixel Yeti Media did say earlier that they felt the article in the Express and Star was staged. From what we gather, Wolves have around £50 million that we could spend this summer plus whatever we can bring in from sales in the summer. Which, you know, 50 million plus a little bit more isn't really a lot in the grand scheme of things. But like I said earlier, it's about recruiting astute like they did with Lamina and Dawson. This or not. We need more key names, do we? We need strong players.
I don't think I'm concerned about the fact that, you know, we've not got, you know, a massive war chest to spend. Because I just think players are leaving. Like, we're going to make some degree of cash from sales. And I think, look, I'm no accountant, but, you know, selling a player for £10 to £15 million on the books now doesn't necessarily mean that we can't buy a player for more than that fee. You know, it's just there's a whole load of bullshit finance that people like to do, which means, you know, all of a sudden the coffers are just more open. So I just think that...
Just go to Chelsea and sign players on 8-year contracts.
there you go. I mean, that worked for them, didn't it? They've obviously become a really, really good football club off the back of that, haven't they?
And they capped it to 5 years now or something. They changed the rules, didn't they? Because
I always thought that was the case anyway. But I don't know. It's a strange one. I just think, I said this earlier, Ferguson tried to do it on the cheap with Large. They thought they could bring in a coach who promoted youth players at Benfica and won a title. And they imagined that we might be able to do it, you know, transfer that method over to Wolves. He couldn't get a tune out of Nuno's group because it was Nuno's team. You know, it's still a team that plays best under like Nuno's tactics, basically. They're still low scoring. They're still relatively solid at the back. You know, you've just got to get rid of a whole load of players now and really kind of freshen it up, because I've not seen anything from Lopetegui's teams that tells me that we're going to go on a charge with this group of players. So sell them and bring in a few fresh faces, and they don't have to be expensive signings. They can be under the radar, kind of up and coming talents who've got a bit more hunger about them than the ones that we've currently got, because the hunger's just not there at the moment. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on this being linked to Jacarez from Coventry, Harry?
I'll be honest, obviously he's got a good record. I haven't seen much of him because since Wolves have been promoted, I hardly take notice of the Championship. But if they come up, obviously he won't come. I hope if he does come, he's good, because there's a lot of players that come out of the Championship and can't cut it. But a few have, like obviously Watkins at Villa is one that looks pretty good. But I'd take him. But it's like we've got a curse on our strikers, isn't it? Like, since the Raul thing's happened, we just need to find someone to come in to bag the goals. But yeah, the FFP, I was quite shocked when I saw the comments from Lopetegui, because it feels like he was told a certain thing when he come in. And then he was like, oh, all of a sudden, he might not be getting what he wants. Sell to buy keeps being the famous line, isn't it? That's coming back out. And but you say, like Gully said about us, he don't see us pushing on to Lopetegui, but I think his record since he's come in, at one point we were like sixth on the form table, wasn't we? So if he can get what he wants, I know under Bruno Lage we pushed up towards the top six at one point, then fell off. But I think Lopetegui, if he can get it right, I'm quietly confident we can push towards the top half.
What's your
feelings
on Jacques
Perez, Gulley? I think Coventry are going to win the playoff final for a start. From what I've seen of the two teams, I feel like they're better placed on a big pitch at Wembley, at least, anyway. So I don't see him necessarily being sold. But what he can do, which we need, he can get the ball, he can run with it and carry it distance. So when your team's under pressure, like we have been a couple of times, we haven't been able to get away and escape from kind of high presses. He's someone who'll run a channel for you and hold the ball up well. And look, he's a better finisher than, you know, a lot of the players we've got at the club for a start. I don't think he's necessarily a penalty box kind of striker, but in transition, you know, when he's carrying the ball, that's where I've seen most of his goals come from this year.
Is he better than Fabio Silva, Gully?
I like Fabio, so I'm not going to say absolutely 100% he is, because, you know, he's also got 5 years on Fabio, hasn't he? That's the bottom line. Yeah. And he's got a season of prolific goal scoring behind him. So, but I don't know. Anything's better than Diego Costa and Cunha at the up top at the moment, I think.
Yeah.
Both of those options.
The big thing for me, you just mentioned Fabio Silva there. I hope you can hear me saying this. Everyone keeps on talking about Evan Ferguson for Brighton and Fabio Silva is on the same amount of goals as him this season.
Really?
As in when Fabio was at Wolves in his first season?
No, yeah, the same sort of like time period in the Premier League. Fabio Silva's on 4 goals, the same as Evan Ferguson. And Evan Ferguson is in such a better attacking side than Fabio Silva ever had.
Yeah.
Providing him service when he was at Wolves.
Looking back,
I think we're all on the same bandwagon that he needs to be given a chance, doesn't he? If he wants to sort of lead the line next season, he needs to have a good pre-season. He needs to put a marker down early that he's the guy to lead this line. He needs to sort his Barnet out. I'm sorry. I don't care. I'm fucking bald. Man. Deal with it. He needs an haircut. Get him a bully cut. Get him a flipping just straight, you know, simple back fade. He's fine. Just... He's been hanging around with Xavi Simons too much, because that what he's got currently, he's never going to be an elite striker with that haircut. But the more he bulks up, the more he learns his craft. Hopefully, he's done a lot of that this season under Ruud van Nistelrooy. He could be massive for us next season if he really wants to be the striker that leads our line for the years to come. Because he has mentioned that he's dreaming to play in the Liga. Well, that's his. If he wants to do that, he leapfrogs from the Premier League after 2 or 3 good seasons, doesn't he?
Yeah, and looking back, I think when he come in for Raul when he got injured, he had so much pressure on him, and I think we had such high expectation as fans at the time. I think we overlook how good he actually did in that spell. I thought he did well. He scored a few goals. Obviously, he scored against Albion a couple of times, which is...
Twice against the Albion.
The Albion, yeah. He should be a hero.
He should be a hero.
Yeah.
I think that season without fans didn't help him at all.
Nah,
because he's the kind of player who looks like he thrives off an atmosphere. And imagine scoring a goal in a Midlands, in a Black Country derby like that. You know, he would have raised, like the roof would have gone off the stadium. And look, then
his performance against Villa at home last season, Gulley. Ruben Neves didn't play for Wolves that season. Fabio Silva absolutely run Tyrone Ring.
He did,
Ring's Maggie. That's what I meant to say then. Ring's Maggie.
That's how much he rinsed him.
Outstrengthed him, didn't he?
Outstanding. He probably should have scored with the one chance, which he created himself, which during his first period after Jimenez got injured, a lot of the chances he was pretty much creating himself because he wasn't getting decent service in the box. And obviously, William Hosey came in after him and was a complete shambles for effort. And like you said, I think Fabio Silva, with a Molineux fan base behind him, we would have got even more out of him because I think, he run Mings ragged. And I feel like with a strong fan base behind him, like you said, we want sort of Jokeres to run the channels. I think Fabio Silva would do that for Wolves.
He would.
He's not going to be the next Harry Kane, but I feel like he's going to be a striker that the more experience he gets, the more he bulks up, the more he learns his craft, he will have the ability to score the similar type of goals that Kane does. Sort of quick reaction, no backlift, power. He has got that sort of ability to him.
Bring
Fabio home, because next season he will be hashtag clear with Dazzling Dave. I'm going to end tonight's show on the Wolves Fancast YouTube channel. Please subscribe and press the like button before you go. Hopefully we've got another good result at home to Everton tomorrow, and we'll be back on Sunday with a match review. Thanks to Harry from the 77 Club for joining us tonight. Sorry for jumping out on YouTube midway through the show, but I hope you've enjoyed coming on the show tonight. Gully, you'll hopefully be back with a tactical analysis next week. Hopefully with
I'm on the beach, with man. A
win. Yeah, he's like, yeah, just do a video from you on the beach talking about the players that we should be getting next summer. what was his name again?
Riddler Baku.
I'm going to say Riddler Baku just to annoy people. Like people call what was the guy on the Wolfpack who calls him Nelson Samodo? I'm going with Riddler Baku. Thanks for joining us tonight. Thanks for everyone who's commented. I'm going to read this last comment out from Peter Yamyam 54, who says, "Thanks, guys." No, Peter, thank you. Enjoy your weekend. Good night. We're the Wolves Fancast and Harry from the 77 Club. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back on Sunday. Take care, everyone. Hey!